Let us pray. God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture today comes from the book of Kings. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it's splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram."
Another thing that happened at annual conference this week, sometimes people bring resolutions to be considered during the conference. Normally they're submitted long in advance, but sometimes they come like the first day. And one that came up this week, this year at annual conference was regarding mental health. The world is in such a state that it can really be a heavy burden mentally on all of us. This group that brought this resolution to annual conference this year was a group of clergy. They were speaking specifically about clergy, and that's true, but I would extend that it's a burden for all of us just to be out in the world. Easy, so easy to fall into despair, to see all the terrible things that are going on, to read the news. This group hates this group, and they can't make decisions that are the best for the whole because they're both so firmly in their own corners that they just can't break through. It brings about a lot of despair, and it weighs on you. It stresses you. So this group wanted to start a task force in the annual conference so that there could be resources made available to people who were under this deep stress and a way to recognize that that stress was starting to build before it comes to a point where they're no longer able to function. I think that's what happens to Elijah in this story. So a little backup on what's happening here in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. In chapter 18, I've told you this story before, you've heard it before. You know that Israel, under King Saul, and then David, and then Samuel, was one kingdom. And then at some point in their history, people start to dispute the Davidic line of kings. And this causes a split in the country, right? Israel becomes two kingdoms, Israel and Judah. So in this passage, when it talks about Elijah going down into Judah, he has left the country to go into another country. When they split, and Ahab was the king of Israel, remember that all of these little nations in the Mideast were surrounded by big empires, right? You had Persia over here, and then you had Egypt down here. So a lot of these little countries would form little alliances. So what happened in Israel is Ahab married a Phoenician woman from Sidon, Jezebel, famous Jezebel, who was a worshiper of Baal. Remember Baal, B-A-A-L, right? The fertility god. So part of the arrangement for their marriage was that Baal worship would be brought into the nation and accepted on equal footing as worship of Yahweh, right? Okay. So Elijah is a prophet of Yahweh, and he is, of course, not happy with this, and he sets up kind of a showdown between Baal and Yahweh. And the way he does it is he contacts these priests of Baal, I think it's like 450 of them, and they each set up an altar to their god, right? So the altar to Baal is here, and all the 450 priests, and the altar to Yahweh is here with Elijah. And they are to each build their altar and lay a sacrifice on it, and then burn it, right? A burnt offering to their god. And it's a showdown. So to show the power of their gods. So Elijah is feeling very confident in this moment. And he's like, please, priests of Baal, you first. Here's your altar. Go ahead. Do your stuff. And they start their rituals and whatever is involved in their rituals. I don't know. Chanting and whatever. And I don't know why I always picture Elijah with a cigarette. But I picture Elijah just being on the side like... But he really gets very pompous, right? And he even gets a little sarcastic. You know, maybe Baal is sleeping. Call a little louder. You know, dance harder. Maybe he can't hear you. You have to wake him up. And it's just nothing is happening. Finally, they give up. Elijah is very full of the spirit now. And he's ready. And he says, bring me gallons of water. Douse this altar until it's drenched. So they keep bringing more and more water. And it's so wet. It's dripping. And all Elijah has to do is like stand up and it's instantly consumed by flames. The people, you know, there's people watching and they're all watching and they're all in, yeah, you know, the cheers go up. Here's the power of this one true God. And they turn on the priest of Baal and they kill them all. It's a slaughter. And then chapter 19, Jezebel hears about it. What happened to them is going to happen to you. And Elijah, suddenly, confidence is gone, and he runs into the wilderness. Maybe he ran out of cigarettes. Yeah. Cigarettes are great confidence builders. They're not. Elijah runs, and he goes into the desert and finds this broom tree, this tree growing in the desert, and he sits, you know, to get some relief, to get some shade from the heat of the desert, and he falls asleep, and he's touched by an angel. Remember the TV show, Touched by an Angel? touched by an angel, and he's awakened, and this angel takes care of him and prepares him for the 40-day journey to Mount Horeb. Is that the right name? Yeah. To Horeb, which is Sinai. It's the same mountain, Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb. It's just a different name. Remember Sinai, that's where Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments. How long was Moses up on Mount Sinai? 40 days, right? And here's Elijah to the same mountain, 40 days. Another time when Moses goes up to that mountain, he's also in despair. He also wants God to take his life. He's having so much trouble dealing with the Israelites, the Hebrews. And he's up on the mountain and he prays to God to take his life. And God pretty much says the same thing that he says to Elijah. He says, go and place yourself in the crevice of those rocks. God is going to be on his way and God will walk by and you'll get a glimpse of God's glory as a little bit of boost. Same thing for Elijah. The interesting thing at the end, after God has passed, after Elijah has been sustained and nourished for this journey to stand in the presence of God, and God, why are you here, Elijah? And Elijah explains to him, the truth is, none of that is really true what Elijah says. He's not alone. There are still other prophets in Israel who were speaking out against Jezebel and the priests of Baal. He's not alone, but he's in this state. He's in this mental state. He has suicidal ideation. He's under all this stress. He's afraid. He can't function normally. And the only way he can find confidence is in God's presence. Why are you here, Elijah? Because of this, 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 and this. God is present, God hears, and God says, go and continue your work. Go back to, what's the name of the place where he sends him? Go through the wilderness of Damascus, and return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Go and anoint a new king. Don't worry about Jezebel. God is with him. And I think a lot of the commentaries focus on God appearing in that sheer silence. And that's interesting. It's not unimportant. But for me, for today, I keep thinking about that broom tree. What is that broom tree? Why does he have to stop there? Why can't he just go right to the mountain? And the broom tree, to put this in modern space so it makes sense for us, the broom tree for me is church, is the church. There are a lot of people out there in the world who don't know how to deal with the world, with the stress, the anxiety, the crazy making that happens out in society. They don't call this room a sanctuary for nothing. This is a safe space. This is where people can come and be replenished, where people can come into a beloved community that where we don't gossip and we don't negatively criticize and we don't treat people as less than. This is a place where we recognize that God loves us all. God loves you, Elizabeth. God loves you. What's your name again? God loves you. We love you. This is a safe space, and it is our job to take that love and nurture a sick world that's outside. This, I swear, there's a part of me that wants to change the name of the church to the broom tree, where people can come for this sustenance and strength and help them on their journey towards oneness with God, because that's where our journey is taking us. Of course, I don't have to, this is going to communion, right? There's the nourishment. We come here and take in this meal every week to gain strength to go back out into that mission field. I was going to say battlefield. It's a mission field. It's not a fight. We're out there to love, not to fight. One way that I think we're going to be doing that here, or that I hope we will discern a way to do that here, is next Saturday when we have our vision meeting. Our plan is to get together to look at where we've been, where we are now, where are we going. This church all churches really, needs to have a clear vision of where we're going. We need to focus on a mission, maybe two or three missions. So the plan is next week that we'll look at where we were in past vision meetings. We've done this before. All churches have done this. But it's been a few years. The world has changed. COVID has come and is maybe on its way. We have a new pastor. Outlooks have changed. The world has changed. Are those things that we saw in the vision meeting a few years ago still valid now? If not, what is valid now? And where can we focus our energy so that we can make a difference in the world, so that we can let the world know that this is a safe place on your journey towards God? Another thing that happens at annual conference. At the end of annual conference, Michelle Pope was asked, as lay leader of the annual conference, if she had anything to, any final words, anything to say, as what are you laughing at?
She always has something.
She always has something to say, and it's always good. So they asked her if she had something to say, and she shared about the National Suicide Hotline. It's so, and she just said, she said that she suggested that we all put it into our bulletins and we take them home and we tape them to our refrigerators, put them in your phones, not even so much for yourselves, although, of course, but so you always have it handy that you are able to offer that help to someone that perhaps you can't, you might not be equipped for. So if you look in your bulletins, the number is there for the National Suicide Hotline. Another small way that we can be there for people who are suffering in a sick, sad, anxiety-ridden world. Amen? Amen.